Let me put the sun. That's where the opening of Gan Eden was on the eastern side. He put the kerubim. These were like, we'll soon see in a second what they are. Destroying angels or terrifying, basically the black angels, so to speak. That was the means. The flame of the ever-turning sword, meaning it was a sword that turned around with fire. Basically, this was to frighten Adam HaRishon that he shouldn't go back into Gan Eden. Now, whether this Gan Eden is still on earth or not, I haven't seen anywhere. I'm sure it says somewhere. I don't know. But Lishmer is Derech Eitz HaChayim, to guard the way that he shouldn't be able to go back to eat from the tree of life, that he should be able to live forever. Okay? Commentators explain, even though the whole place was watched, but primarily the gateway where he shouldn't be able to go back and, again, eat from the tree. Okay? He kicked him out. And these, he put their angels that sometimes turn into men, sometimes into women, sometimes into who knows what. The guided tree of life, that man can attain it after he dies. And this is what the Mefarshim explained. The Malbim says that this is, when does a person return there? After they pass away, then they go to Gan Eden. But again, this what used to be a physical Gan Eden, and then it probably became a spiritual Gan Eden that Hashem didn't let Adam, in being alive, go back to Gan Eden. So this was an offshoot of his actual punishment because of his sin, and therefore, why did Hashem guard it? Because Hashem says he guarded it and put these angels there. Guarded because of its status out of respect, like a palace of a king is watched and guarded out of respect, and basically that Adam HaRishon shouldn't go back.
The animal was there?
No. The animals were not in Gan Eden. It says in the pasuk earlier, Vayinicheo b'Gan Eden, Hashem put him and Chava, obviously, in Gan Eden, and that was it. No animals.
But how come they put them?
Huh?
The Nachash was there.
Well, we don't know. Vayinicheo b'Gan Eden of the Shomer, Techagan. Yeah, probably. The Nachash was unique, though. The Nachash was not like all animals.
Right.
He stood upright, he talked, I mean, the whole thing.
How come he put the name on the animals? Adam?
Why did he?
Yeah. In the same time or different time?
Before.
Before, so should be they are in the Gan Eden.
Not in Gan Eden, he didn't do it in Gan Eden. Afterwards, Hashem put in Gan Eden. What?
What's the difference between Gan Eden and Olam Haba?
What's your question?
Question is, what's the difference between Gan Eden and Olam Haba? The question really is, let me clarify your question. What is Olam Haba? Is it Gan Eden or Tchias HaMeisim? Okay? Now, right now, Gan Eden is a spiritual world, which happens to be in the world of Bria. If you're talking about Atzilus, Bria, Tzia, Nasiya, it's in the world of Bria. That's a world where the reward of the righteous people that did mitzvahs, right? After they're cleansed along the way. So then they go to Gan Eden. That's basically where the neshamas reside. Again, it's a spiritual world. It's not
physical.
It's a spiritual level of godliness where the neshamas reside. Then the neshama decide, it's decided by Hashem, the soul gotta come down, it comes down. It finishes its mission, it goes back up, it goes back to Gan Eden, right? Now, Olam Haba means the world to come. That's the definition of Olam Haba. Olam Haba, the world to come, can mean one of two things. Either Gan Eden, which is the world to come after we pass away, or it can mean Olam Haba, the world to come when Mashiach comes. And this is always the argument between Rambam and Ramban. What does Olam Haba mean? Except in the Mishnah, in Sanhedrin, when it says, every Jew has a chelik in Olam Haba, everybody says it means resurrection. Why? Because right away the Mishnah says, who doesn't? A guy who denies the resurrection of the dead. So the Mishnah says, every Jew has a share in Olam Haba, except one who denies the resurrection. So therefore, everybody says Olam Haba over there actually means the resurrection. But Gan Eden is a spiritual entity, not the Gan Eden of Adam Rishon. That was whatever. It became spiritual. Gan Eden is a spiritual entity that's not at all physical. Where the Gemara says the expression Tzadikim sit, meaning the neshama sit, doesn't mean sit because they don't spiritual. They sit with the crowns on their head and they're basking in godliness. That's what Gan Eden is. Olam Haba can either mean Gan Eden or Tchias HaMeisin, the resurrection of the dead. It can mean either one of the two.
Gan Eden is materialistic. You know, is
Gan Eden is not material. Gan Eden is spiritual. Olam Haba, Tchias HaMeisin is physical.
Olam Haba should be reversed.
No, some people say Olam Haba is Gan Eden because it's the world after this one when we pass away. After 120 years, or it could mean the world to come after Mashiach comes. Olam Haba means the world to come. It could be coming now after we die, or when Mashiach
comes. Not Gan Eden.
No. Well, yeah, if Olam Haba means after we die, it's Gan Eden.
So what?
But it also means Chiyas HaMeisim. It means Chiyas HaMeisim also. Okay, let's start the new thing of. The next problem that started, the Cain and Abel story. Cain and Abel story. Well, Adam yada as Chava, simply in the English is defined, Adam knew his wife, which obviously doesn't mean no. It means he connected himself to his wife in a form of intimacy. The Tava tailored as Cain. She became pregnant, she gave birth to Cain. There is a whole difference of opinion, we'll discuss some of them. When did this happen? Before the sin? After the sin? Okay, taking the pasuk literally simply, first there was the sin, God punished them, right? Threw them out of Gan Eden, then Cain and Hevel were born. Some people say, no, this all happened before. Some people say, Cain was born before driven out, Hevel was born after driven out. Okay, so there's three opinions actually. When did this birth of Cain and Hevel come about? One thing was certain, that Cain and Hevel were born the day they were conceived, without any pain.
Same day.
Same day.
Then we just learned that.
The punishment for Chava was. That's what I'm saying. Many people say it was before because of that. Some people say it was after, but she still didn't have any pain because this was like the first thing.
Transition.
Okay, according to the Psad, you're going Ibn Ezri being done over here. These events happened after the expulsion. Okay? And he says, because it says Adam knew Chava after they were driven out of Gan Eden, and then Cain was born. So obviously he was okay, now that's why, well, 1 minute, according to the Beinu Bachaya or Bachi, whichever way you pronounce it, he says an interesting thing. Because they were driven out, meaning because they were told we're not going to live forever, then Adam and Chava said, if so, we need to keep the race going. We need to have kids. Because we're going to die, no kids, so that's it. Mankind's over. So now that they were driven out and they were punished that there's going to be death in the world, so now Adam Yodas Chava, the Sweet Rabbein of Bechai learns, that's the sequence of the events. Because now they're going to have kids to continue.
What? It makes sense of potentially, okay, you get the punishment, then he named her Eve, then they go, now the man had known his wife Eve. So it makes sense that it's afterwards.
Yeah, but some people learn that it happened before. Mm. Here. According to the Medrash, I'm going to read the English. Adam and Eve's sin and expulsion took place the very first day of their creation. According to the commentators, explained that prior to the sin, conception and birth were painless and immediate, thus explaining how it was possible for Cain's birth to occur before the expulsion. So some people say Cain was born before they were driven out of Gan Eden. Okay. Let's see what it means. But it's interesting, the word Yoda, again, literally means he was intimate with his wife. It's a very refined way of saying the concept of intimacy. But why is it, and this is an interesting thing, Yav Chochma Bin and Das, right? In three intellectual levels. Chochma and Bina are the intellectual levels. Das is based on this pasuk as something completely different. Chochma and Bina, Chochma in Hebrew is two words, Koachma. That means it's like a spark. It's like, you know, you light a lighter, there's a spark. Chochma is when you're learning something and you get a brainstorm, you know, you get a flash of an idea, but you don't know yet, there's no depth to it, there's no length and width, there's no understanding yet. When you understand it, Bina means now you take it, develop it, and now you understand it. So Chochma is the initial flash of an idea, like a spark. Therefore, Chochma is called Koachma. Koachma, it's nothing. It's a flash. And then Bina is when it comes into understanding properly. Therefore, by the way, in Hashem's name, Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey of Hashem's name, Yud is Chochma, because it's a dot, which Chochma is. Hey is Bina. Vav is the six fetus, and the second Hey is Malchus. But just even talking about Yud and Hey, in Hebrew, it's interesting, masculine, in Hebrew grammar, Torah grammar, Lashon Kodesh grammar, masculine is with a Yud. Feminine, in Hebrew, is with a Hey at the end. Okay? Therefore, even man and woman, Ish, is Aleph Yud Shin, Isha is Aleph Shin Hey, because the man is Yud, and Hey is now. Because Yud is a dot that represents Chochma. In childbearing, the man gives the seed, the tipa as it's called, is a drop. Okay? The woman broadens it through 9 months of pregnancy. So the male is Chochma, the spark, and the woman is the level of Bina understanding it. Okay? Das is something completely different. Das in Torah means binding yourself to what you understand. Meaning, das means actually feeling what you understand. That means internalizing it and making it subjective, that you feel it. For instance, I'll give you it's a Rashi in Chumash, in Achrimes, beginning of Achrimes. I can know something is wrong, and I'll do it anyway. Right? People know this food is not good for the diet, but I'm going to eat it anyway. Yeah? If you know it's no good, why are you eating it? The answer is, because I don't feel it. I know it's wrong, but I don't feel it wrong. Das is when you feel it wrong. The Grashi says at the beginning of Parshas Achrimes, this is, so to speak, the source of it in Mashi. Rashi says, why Hashem says to Aaron after the death of Aaron's two children, don't go into the base, don't go into the Holy of Holies whenever you want. So Rashi says, why does the Torah say after the two sons of Aaron died? Hashem should tell them, don't go in there. So Rashi gives the analogy, from the Gemara. The analogy is a doctor comes to a patient and says, don't eat this food, because if you eat it, you're going to die. Okay, the person hears it's wrong. But another time a doctor comes to the patient and he says, if you eat this food, you're going to die like your relative died from eating that food. Then not only do you know it, you actually feel it. In fact, this we mentioned this in the past. It's a very profound concept. Aristotle, the Rambam writes about Aristotle, by the way, Chochem Godol Hoya. The Rambam writes about Aristotle that he was brilliant. I won't tell you what the Rambam wrote about Muhammad. The Rambam calls him a sugar. The Rambam writes him a sugar, a nut job. But Aristotle, the Rambam writes him Chochem Godol. He was a brilliant man. and he preached morals and ethics. One time Aristotle was caught doing an immoral act. So a student said to him, "You're the preacher of morals, why are you doing?" He said, "Now I'm not Aristotle." "What do you mean now I'm not Aristotle? What I know is not what I do. I could know it's wrong, but I'll do it anyway." "Why are you doing it if you know it's wrong?" "Because you know it's wrong, but you don't feel it's wrong." Okay? This is what Das means. Because what does Das mean? Adam Yoda es Chava means he connected to Chava. What is Das? You bind yourself to the subject matter in a way that you become one with it. It's not you and the knowledge. You and the knowledge become one. And that's what it means. Adam Yoda es Chava. And therefore, Das, by the way, something you feel, you will never forget. Because it's one with you. I'll give you the physical example of this. It happens every so often. I'll use it the normal way of it. A husband forgets the wife's birthday. And there's a big, "What do you mean, how do you forget my birthday?" But people forget things. The wife never forgets anything. Right? You don't forget it. You forget things. What's the big deal? So I forgot your birthday. Big deal. What's the pshat? Something that's important, you don't forget. Yeah? We all know something important, you don't forget. If somebody insults you, you remember it for life. You don't even have to write it down. You remember it for life. The good people do, you better write it down because they'll never remember it anyway. But Das means that you actually feel it. And that's when a person learns, Chochmah and Bina is the understanding of the subject. First with Chochmah, then Bina. And then Das is when you feel what you're learning. Not only do I know it's right, I feel it's right or I feel it's wrong. And that's the concept what it says, V'adam yodav chavam. Okay. So therefore, V'atav v'tel l'diskayin. Okay, she conceived, and she bore a son. And she said, "Kanisi ish es Hashem," meaning I've acquired a man. I've brought another man into the world. That's the way that Barbanel says, "Kanisi ish es Hashem," or the Medrash says what it means is, I acquired the love of my husband by bringing a child into the world. Okay, now. It's a very interesting thing the commentaries discuss over here. Who named them?
Yeah, that's
the name. Huh? If you look at the pasuk, it's about Taima, she said. Kanisi Isha Hashem. Right? She said, Kanisi Isha Hashem. If you look at the Shvatim, you should say Vatemer Leah, Vatemer Rachel. The woman named it. So the question is, certain times we find, like for instance, Yaakov was called by Yitzchak. Okay. Vayikra Shema Yitzchak called him. Sometimes it's Vatikra, sometimes it says Vayikra, sometimes the man, sometimes the woman. So there's a whole discussion, not only here, but there's an interesting discussion in Halacha. Again, this is not practical today because of the custom is different. Who has the first right to the names?
Mom.
A couple gets married, they have a baby. Okay? The wife wants one name, the husband has another name. Who has the right to the baby? It isn't the right to the baby. To the naming of the baby. Who has the right to the name? So, b'chal, the custom in the world is usually that the wife gets the first name. Okay? Usually that's the way it works. Why? Very simple. She struggled through it, okay? So she gets the right. But there's a Daskenim Balatesis later on in Pashas Vayeshev. Daskenim Balatesis says an interesting thing. When Yehuda and Erva Einon, Yehuda gave birth with Tamar to the two boys that died. So over there, the Daskenim Balatesis says the custom in those days was the husband had the first name. And then the wife has the second name, and again the husband and the wife, you know, they take turns. But over there it says, normally it says the husband had the first right to the name. Here, Chava took the name, okay, Why? First of all, she said, Kanisi Ish Es Hashem. Let me go into it. She said, I'm taking responsibility. What was it say over here? My husband was created with I in birth and came, we became partners also. How did I acquire my husband? Because God made Adam, then he made me. But together we made the baby. So the baby finalizes the partnership between the husband and wife.
Why do they say Isha et Hashem? Why is it Isha et Hashem? It's not related to Hashem. It's related to
Kanishi Ish Es Hashem simply means I've acquired a man with Hashem. Okay, so the commentator is going to say this now. The Gemara says there are three partners in the creation of a baby. Father and mother give the body. God gives the soul. Okay? Now, what does it mean, three partners? Why are they called partners? Because they're equal. That's the definition of partner, means equal. The Hashem gives the soul versus the two parents give the body of the baby. Even though the primary one is Hashem, because Hashem gives the life to the person, nevertheless, the parents are called partners because they had the choice to have them or not to have them. To have the baby or not to have the baby. Because they had the choice to have them or not to have them, therefore there's a mitzvah. Kabbid is a vichel simechi, you have to honor your parents, and all those things. But Es Hashem is also actually the together with, Es Hashem means together with Hashem. What do you mean together with Hashem? Because she could have said Kanisi Ish Hashem. Es Hashem means they work together. With Hashem, they give the body, and Hashem gives the neshama. Okay? Therefore, when a person passes away, the Medrash says Hashem takes away his part and leaves the two parts of the parents that leave the body. Okay, now, what is she saying? The doc says, what do you mean, Kanisi Ish Hashem? Like, Kainei Shamayim V'Aretz, God is the maker of heaven and earth. She's saying, I brought a baby into the world that's different than the way we were made. Because they were made by Hashem. Now the two of them made the baby. Okay. The Barbanel says, even though originally women came from man, listen to this. Chava said, even though I initially came from man, from Adam, but now this man came from me. This baby came from me. So now we're equal. I came from Adam, and now that I had a baby, so then the baby, the man, came from me. So now we're, so to speak, equal. With Hashem's help, we had, okay. Okay.
Didn't you say that the name for the children comes from Hashem?
The name of the children is a prophecy from Hashem, but who is given the prophecy? The father and mother. That's the question. So nowadays the custom is that the mother gets the first name, so obviously she gets the prophecy. In those places where the custom is the father has given the first name, so obviously he gets the prophecy.
It depends. Who is powerful?
No, you know, it also depends. God forbid a father and mother that lost a parent. And the other one has parents. So obviously they would come first, you know what I mean, to give the name. It works out. Okay, now, it's interesting. Now it says, Kanishi Ish as Hashem. It doesn't say Elohim. Until now, basically, everything is Elohim. Okay? Until when it's a B'yema says Hashem Elohim. Because Elohim is the attribute of judgment. And now, okay, Hashem is mercy alone. Now Hashem is running with mercy. Why? With the birth of Cain and Hevel, evil strengthened in the world. Because Cain killed Hevel. Right? This is the first
murder in the world.
Murder. They say, it's a raw. They say, who killed a quarter of the world's population? says when Cain killed Hevel, he killed a quarter of the world's population. But it's not really true, because Cain had a twin sister born with him, and Hevel had two. Hevel was one of triplet. Cain had a twin, and Hevel had two twin sisters. And the jealousy, we'll learn, the jealousy of Cain against Hevel was the extra sister. Cain had only one sister. Hevel had two sisters. So Cain became jealous of Hevel. Oi. What's the problem with the oi?
He's caught. She's caught.
Nah, she's not caught. Okay. But taste of Loledes, she continued to have a child. Okay? And it says, Es Achiv, Es Hevel. Now there's two extra S's here. So it says, one of the, or first of all, it says S before, S Hashem, and then it says again, three S's. So it tells, Rashi learns from based on the Gemedrash, that with Cain, because just think for a minute, who did Cain and Hevel marry? Sister. If you take the psukim literally, okay, Cain was born and Hevel was born, who in the world did they marry?
Sister.
So obviously, there had to be women in the world to marry. Okay? So not only that, but the Medrash learns from the extra S. S is including. So Cain had a twin sister. He married Hevel's sister. Hevel married Cain's sister. Even the same father and mother. But don't forget, nothing was given yet. There was no choice, basically. That it's even more than Leighton, his two daughters. They thought the world was destroyed. There are no mamzein at this point. By the way, it's interesting. When it says, Olam Chesed Yibana, yeah, it says, Olam Chesed, it says,
so Rabbi, he married the two sisters, or just
one second. By one time it says by a sister, it says chesed hu, and Rashi defines it to mean disgusting. Okay, so it says when the world says olam chesed yibana, the world was built with chesed. What's the chesed? They married the sisters. Yeah, Cain got married and Hevel got married. Cain married the twin that was born with Hevel. Hevel married the twin that was born with Cain, but there was one extra one.
So that's why he killed him.
Well, he was jealous of him for other reasons, but that was the real jealousy.
So the second sister didn't get married then, or?
No, Hevel married. They were fighting over her. Who's gonna marry her? And then obviously it wasn't forbidden, it wasn't a problem. Okay, so she gave birth to Hevel. Okay, now why was he called Hevel? Why was he called Hevel? Okay, now, and it's like the Ramban asks an interesting question. By Cain, she said why she named him Cain. Kanisi Isha Hashem. But it says Hevel was born, she didn't say why she called him that. Okay? But because she said like this, man's existence in earth is vain, is vanity. Because we're not here permanently. Right? Hashem drove us out of Gan Eden, he said declare death. So Hevel, what does Hevel mean? Hot air. Hevel means, Hevel is vanity, emptiness, dust. Another opinion says he was called Hevel because his life ended in futility. He didn't even get married. Well, he got married, but he didn't have any kids. Another thing Chava said, why was he called Hevel? The Medrash says, we came into the world with nothing, and we're going out of the world with nothing. Okay? Now, some people say, like we said before, Cain was born before they were driven out of Gan Eden. Hevel was born after. So now, because they were driven out of Gan Eden, a child then became a burden. Number one, there's pain having him. Raising him, all this came after the curse. According to the being, Cain was born before the sin, and Hevel was born after the sin, So Kayin was a pleasure. Hevel was a burden, because now they had all those things. So they called them Hevel because problematic. By the way, it's an interesting thing. Kayin and Hevel, the Aruch Chaim here says a very remarkable thing. Kayin and Hevel, as we know, Kayin killed Hevel, right? Hevel was the good guy, Kayin was the bad guy. So Aruch Chaim says, writes, in the Zohar it says, that Moshe, Mem Shin Hei, stands for Moshe, Sheis, and Hevel. The Moshe was the neshama of Moshe. Sheis was the son of Adam Rishon, begat all the future generations, and Hevel. Because Hevel was the level of Kedusha, the Zohar says, and Kayin was the level of evil, therefore he killed Kayin killed Hevel. So he did bad. So now, this is another form of evil coming into the world, an evil of Kayin that didn't exist before. Okay? Now, what did they do? Vahi Hevel Reyitzayim, Hevel was a shepherd, v'Kayin oya Eved Adam, and Kayin worked the ground. Okay? So the Medrash says, why did Hevel not deal with the ground? Why did he deal with sheep? So it says, Hevel said, and again, don't forget, Hevel is Kedusha. Okay? Hevel said, the earth was cursed by God. Why should I work the earth? It was cursed. So what did he do? He became a shepherd. What's the concept of a shepherd? Like we know, the patriarchs, a lot of the Shvatim, were shepherds, except Yosef at Tzadik. What's the uniqueness about a shepherd? A shepherd is, you go out into the field with the sheep, yeah? They graze. You're not involved in the worldly things. You could daven, you could learn, you're in the field, nature's wonderland. You can communicate with God, you can be... Yosef, for instance, on the other hand, was involved in heavy-duty politics of Egypt. Yosef was involved in corruption. Therefore, of all the Shvatim, only Yosef is called Yosef a Tzadik, because only Yosef had the ability, he was so great, Yosef a Tzadik, his neshama was so great, he was able to be in the world and remain the Tzadik. Therefore, when the brothers came back and said to Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is alive, and he's controlling Egypt, Yaakov didn't believe them. He said that Yosef should be alive as a Jew, Yosef, and running Egypt. It can't be. What were the Shvatim? What was the Avram Yisroel and Yaakov? They were shepherds. Hevel said, I don't want to be involved in worldly things directly. I want to be able to daven and learn and do all that. So even though basically meat was forbidden, they couldn't eat meat yet. Until after the flood, they couldn't eat meat. So what do we mean it was a shepherd? It was the butter, the milk, the wool, the skins of dead animals. They were able to use all these things. So he milked cows and this is the Mizrahi explained. He milked cows, he made clothing and all that.
So what's Kayin?
Kayin was a farmer. I mean, Adam, he was a farmer. Well, because Adam, don't forget, Adam Ayin Lave Desa Adama. Right? So Adam Rishon, the Pasuk says earlier, was there Lave to Adama to serve the earth, the work of the earth. So the oldest son took over the father's business. What was Adam's business? Lave Desa Adama, to work the ground. So Kayin was the older one. So he took over the father's business, and Hevel didn't want to be part of it. Because the land was cursed, so he didn't want to do it.
What the land is, give the food to everybody. Okay.
By the way, one thing Mephoshim explained, slavery, all that type of stuff, began in the agricultural world. When did slavery begin? They needed people to work in the plantations, right? You read American history. They needed people to work in plantations, so they bought slaves to be able to work, right? So, even working the ground in a certain sense was a source of evil because it led to slavery and all that. Hevel's business was the pure business.
So the land is the ground they give to food to everybody. If it's not land, you cannot use it, nobody alive.
I understand, so but still, in fact, that, one sec, that explains also.
Those curses just didn't grow naturally. You have to go work it and toil and sweat.
Yeah, but look at the pasuk. The pasuk is also difficult to understand.
You food.
One second. The pasuk says the two kids were born, right? And then it says like this. Hevel was a shepherd and Cain worked the land. Don't you think it should say reverse? Cain was older. It should say Cain worked the earth. And Hevel was the shepherd. Why does the Torah say first, Hevel was the shepherd and Cain worked the land?
Yeah.
Why? Because Hevel's job was more spiritual. And it was holier. So that's what he did.
That's why he got killed.
Yep. Yeah. Don't do good things, you get killed. The moral of the story is, be bad and you'll be okay. Obviously not. What?
Question. I know you're not there quite yet, Bo. Is the story of Cain and Hevel, does that build on the story of Adam and his whole issue with the you know, not listening to Hashem and everything? Or is it something that you would say is completely different? Or is it, how does that work with the Torah? In other words, are we supposed to like understand the first lesson before you get to the second lesson? Or is it a repetition?
It's one big...
Because some of the stories seem like...
Let me. You know what Kai, what did Kai bring from... He brought... Kai brought me pre-Adam, right? We're going to get there in a minute, yeah? He brought flax, linen. Yeah? Do you know that the commentators explain... I think it's pretty sure that's Kimbala Tesis, Taka says. You know, you... This is low battery. I don't know if it's working anymore. You know you can't wear chutneys, wool and linen together? No, I don't. We did. Wool and linen, you can't wear wool and linen together. It's a chayk. It's completely logical. Wool is good, linen is good, but you put it together, it's no good. So the Mefarshim explain, not that that's the reason for it. But Cain killing Hevel was wool and linen together. Hevel brought wool as a sacrifice. Cain brought linen. Because it was a mixture of wool and linen, look what happened. Somebody got killed. So therefore, the Torah forbid wool and linen together. It's a very interesting... Okay. Vahimi Kate Yamim. Okay. By the way, the Medrash says Cain and Hevel work different jobs, but they shared everything with each other. He gave him his stuff, whatever. Yimi Kates Yamim. Okay, it came a time, it doesn't say how much time. Some people say 40 years. Some say it means days, over here means a full year. Whatever it means after a given amount of time, they wanted to bring a thank you to God. And where did they learn this out from, by the way?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. Adam Rishon.
First sacrifice, you see.
It doesn't say it in Chumash, but the Medrash says, in fact, it says the place of the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, where the Mizbeach is for all the sacrifice at the altar, it was the same one that Adam Rishon brought, Avram brought Yitzchak and Neach brought a carbon, and Adam Rishon brought a carbon, and where did he bring it? On the place which eventually will be the Mizbeach. And it says, Rambam says, Adam, Imakum Kaparasi Nivra, a person was born from the place of his Kapara, meaning according to the Rambam in Hilchos Beis Abchiri says this, a person was born from the place where he's going to be forgiven for his sins. So the earth of the Adam Rishon actually came from, part of it came from the place where the altar, the Mizbeach was. Okay? So it says, the Rambam writes that, from the Medrash, that Adam Rishon brought a sacrifice to thank Hashem for being created. Gemara says, Adam Rishon, B'yayim Shenivra, the day Adam Rishon was created, the Medrash says, Adam Rishon brought a sacrifice to Hashem to thank Hashem for creating him. And that was the same place where eventually Noach built. Okay, so Cain and Hevel learned from their father to be appreciative to Hashem, to say thank you to Hashem. So they brought a carbon. So what did they do? The Yahweh Kayim Ibrio Adama, Kayim brought from the fruit of the ground, okay? But because he says Mipriyo Adama, from, meaning from the junk, he didn't bring the finest crop. But Hevel, Hevi Gamu Mibcheret Seine Melchavehen, Hevel on the other hand brought from the finest of the flock, okay? Some people say, the Medrash says, what did Kayim bring? He brought flax, like we said, linen. Hevel brought wool. But he brought umichalveh, and that's why it says, michalveh means from the choicest, from the chalev. Chalev means the fats, the best. Vayisha Hashem al Hevel vel minchase. Okay? Hashem turned to Hevel and his gift. Meaning Hashem accepted. What it means is, the mean a fire came down, what it means, but Hashem, a fire descended, Rashi says, and ate up the sacrifice that Hevel brought, and not what Kayim brought. Okay?
Can we compare Kayim and Hevel to Yaakov and Esau?
Probably not.
That boy.
We'll see next time. It's going to be after Yom Tov. But Cain and Hevel's and the Shamas came down many times into different types of people, according to the Arizal.
And
but
yeah.
Well, they were twins. Not really. No, they weren't born together. They were born some before the Nephilim.
They're brothers,
yeah.
That's what, is there anything to say about that? At that time, Hashem, they can see the Hashem at that time or not? Adam?
What do you mean they seen him?
Not like now we cannot see him. At that time, you can see them directly.
What do you mean see him?
What do you mean see them? Well, we cannot see him right now. At that time, you
see. You don't see God now?
How you can
stop looking at me, I'm not God. You don't see God now?
Physically no.
Physically you'll never see God.
So at that time
They didn't physically see God now, because God is not physical that you could see him.
So how come
you woke up this morning?
Yes.
That's God talking to you. Hello. I woke you up. That's called seeing God. You're able to walk, you're healthy. That's God seeing. You're seeing God. What do you mean you have to see a what?
Because
you see a big man?
Was it Ganeden? It's some place to get.
It's a spiritual feeling. It's not physical feeling. What do you think? The VM saw God?
I know that time.
What do you think? They saw a hand come out from heaven? They didn't see a hand coming out from heaven. The Rama says clearly, whoever says that is not Picardus. They didn't see a hand come out. What do you think? They saw Hashem? What do you think? They saw God's feet? What do you think? They saw a foot?
No, I remember Moshe at the
bush.
Sinai Mountain. He saw a light. Is that true?
Was it electric light? Battery light? No, I'm serious. Okay, let's take a few minutes. Okay, let's finish off, because now there's no class until after Simchas Torah. Let's just take a few minutes to understand something. We need to be able, as it's called in Hebrew, lahafshit hadvarim migashmiyusan. We have to be able to remove spiritual concepts from physicality. Okay? When the Torah says God spoke, it does not mean God has a mouth and he spoke. When they saw the hand of God, they did not see the hand of God. Okay? What it means is, The concept of a hand, the concept of speech, is what they saw. Meaning, speech, we learned before, when a person speaks, what is the concept of speech? Before I speak, I think. But you don't know what I think. If I want to reveal something to you, I speak it. So speech, by definition, means if I reveal something hidden to you, that's called speech. Thought is when I reveal it to myself. Speech is when I reveal it to somebody else. When it says God speaks, it doesn't mean God has a mouth and he said, "Ye let there be light and let there be this and let there be that." It doesn't mean that. It means God had the ability to create light, but it was not revealed yet. Vayomer Elokim, God spoke, i.e. God revealed the power that he had to create light, and light became created. When it said they saw the hand of God, trust me, it wasn't a hand with five fingers and whatever it was. Okay? What it means is, what's the purpose of a hand? The concept of right hand is benevolence, kindness, giving. Left hand represents hitting, punishing, right? That's the concept of right and left. When they saw the hand of God, meaning they saw revelations of godliness, just like their hand gives, they saw revelations of godliness. When they saw the left hand of Hashem, it means they saw punishment. Hashem was punishing. But they don't see the hands. They don't see the feet. They didn't see a light. You know, sometimes you say, there's an expression even in English, they saw the light.
It's a virtual.
Right, it's a virtual light. They don't see a light. They see the light means they finally woke up to know what's right to do. Right, that's what it means, they saw the light. But it's not a physical light that the people see. God is not physical. You can't have a physical expression on God. The Rambam says clearly in Hilchos Deos, all over Chazal, all over our sages, when it says God did things that sound physical, it doesn't mean God has a physical body. It doesn't mean angels have wings. You know, everybody, you draw a picture of angels, you picture, I don't mean the LA angels, or the California angels. I mean, angels, you have wings. Okay, and the Torah speaks about the Knafayim, the wings of the angels. Yeah? No, you think the angels, which are spiritual beings, have wings? What are wings? Wings make the thing fly high. Angels have wings mean angels fly high in their love and devotion and dedication to Hashem. So they go higher. They have wings. It doesn't mean they're flapping like a bird that flaps the wings or like an angel you see in the movies or whatever it is. It's a spiritual thing that Torah uses physical terms because otherwise we would have no understanding of it. When you say God's revelations, we call light, or Ein Sof, right? The light. It's what do you think? It's light. It's not physical light, but the Torah uses terms in human terminology. We should have a little bit of an understanding of what it means, but that's all. It's not okay.